With the 9th pick in the draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select running back from Florida, Fred Taylor.
Dolphins showing blitz now. There it comes. Now back to throw. Turns and dumps it. It's Fred all alone. He's at the 30. He's at the 25. He's at the 20. On his feet inside at the 15. There he goes to the 10. Fred's on his feet to the 5. Touchdown, Jacksonville.
Where did this guy come from? You can't explain that. You cannot color commentate that. You can't play-by-play that. You can't tell somebody what I just saw. Holy smokes.
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host, Mike Dempsey.
Oh, we're tricky like that. No truth in advertising today. Back at the 1010XL World Headquarters over here at 9090 Hogan Road as the final gold plating is going in. And my wall of honor that they're installing down at the radio broadcast booth down at the Everbank Field.
So when these palatial renovations are done over at Everbank, yes. You'll be doing the radio show in a Lazy Boy, right?
In a Lazy Boy from the club seat section. Right? I'm going to have my own radio
booth. With beautiful women feeding you fruit and fanning you off.
They could be fruit or they could be, you know, other things. They could feed me is fine. Whatever handy finger food comes to mind.
Well, I sit over here and Duval Doom brings you guys breakfast.
Wait a minute. You sit courtside at the River City Rumble, like you're a baller, like you're working hard on a media credential, and you're just glomming up one of the good seats.
Well, it helps to know a guy, Mike.
See, that's what I'm saying. We all know a guy in different arenas, and you are, you know, a River City Rumble guy. I'm a guy. All I am is a guy who works over in an empty stadium at this time of year, right? There are not many things going on over there. It's not that exciting, although Doom does bring us breakfast. He can bring you breakfast if you liked you enough.
If he can make a special trip, I'm not opposed.
I know where he knows where you're located here at 9090 Hogan Road. If anybody else wants to bring us breakfast, you know, I haven't done that in a while. Bring us some breakfast. We'll give you something.
Maybe a Jaguars Today t-shirt?
Maybe. There you go. Do you really want breakfast? I'm good, actually. But do you and JJ want something?
I'm willing to trade Jaguars Today.
JJ's behind, like, wow, man, my name got mentioned, and B, these are what my thumbs look like when I point them up in the air.
9090 Hogan Road.
9090 Hogan Road. Tyler Devitt has thrown out a Jaguars Today t-shirt for some kind of breakfast item coming his way. Maybe the first to arrive. You might want to say that because I don't think we have an unlimited supply. I talked with Maurice Jones-Drew last night, who's up in up at the Combine in Indianapolis. And you never know what's going, you know, he's telling me about some of the people he's been hanging out with this week. We did a show last night on Sirius, and I'm not going to name drop some of the people. I mean, Tony's told me of similar stories. It's kind of an interesting dynamic. You know, you see all the decision makers around the National Football League, and they're all just hanging out, and they're working during the day, but everyone's kind of hanging out, trading information and gossip and stories and whatnot throughout the course of the evening. So you take everything with somewhat of a grain of salt. He did say he called Gus up in the last couple weeks and told him he needs to draft Miles Jack. Of course, you got to consider the source here. Okay, a couple of UCLA Bruin brethren.
Gotta root for his guy.
He's backing his guy up, but he is goo-goo for Miles Jack. There's no question about that. I saw Tony tweeting about that last night as well. And he is convinced, after talking with Mike Mularkey, this is Maurice Jones-Drew.
Maurice talked to Mike Mularkey.
Yes, Maurice talked to Mike Mularkey. Of course, right. He was here when Absolutely. Mike Mularkey was here. And, you know, just because Mike Mularkey won 2 games doesn't mean everyone hates him as a human being. You know, just wasn't a very good football coach for the Jaguars. So they were discussing, you know, where things need to go. And he said Mularkey kind of reiterated that, you know, we need to protect the quarterback. And no surprise there. Everybody thinks they're going to go with Laremy Tunsil if they're stuck with the first pick or if they keep the first pick, however you want to look at it. If they don't get a package draft picks that entices them to move down from number one, I think they'd love to, particularly because I think anybody coming up would be for a quarterback, and you could probably figure at least a couple of them would come off the board, and that's not a position that you're going to go in that direction. Depending on how far you want to move back, you can still get a very elite player, whether you want an offensive lineman or not. But he's convinced that they're going Derrick Henry with their next pick in the draft. I mean, we know Bishop Sankey wasn't any good the last 2 years as a second round pick. And then last year they drafted David Cobb out of Minnesota in round 5. A lot of people thought he'd go in the second round. Mularkey is a boring offensive guy for most of his career. He did have that stretch in Pittsburgh where he had Cordell Stewart and he turned him into Slash, which kind of sits as a, an outlier to the rest of his time. He is a guy that wants to play smash mouth, and then hit you over the top with play action, much like Bruce Arians, I would say, with the Arizona Cardinals. You know, so you got to be able to smash somebody in the mouth if you're going to do that kind of style, if you're going to play that kind of style of football. And a strong running game is one of the best protections you can have for a young quarterback, right? When the other team has to respect the run, they can't pin their ears back and just come after your QB. So he's convinced that Derrick Henry's the guy, if he's sitting there, and that they would take them as take him where they would have to, probably, which is the first pick of the second round.
And they got a real hodgepodge of running backs there in Tennessee. You'd have Bishop Sankey. Who else do you got there? You'd have
David Cobb,
right? Derrick Henry.
Right. I mean, it would be the Derrick Henry show.
Oh, absolutely.
Is what it would be. And Derrick Henry, in a Mike Mularkey offense, would be a candidate for 280, 300 carries in his first NFL season. You know, people are worried about his carry count last year. His total carry count in college was a lot lower than some of the other guys that have come out, like Matt Forte, Steven Jackson. I mean, he had an exceptionally high year carrying the football at Alabama this year, but he didn't get worked into the ground his first couple of years. He's young enough. I don't think he's going to have a major setback or hangover from that many carries going into his first NFL season. But maybe he has a shortened NFL career just because of his style of play. But if you can get, you know, 5-6 good years out of a second round pick, why not? I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Not everybody has to be a 10 or 12 year player.
Right. So then they'd probably have to cut ship with either Antonio Andrews, Bishop Sankey, Dexter McCluster. One of those guys is probably going home.
I don't know if they would, actually. I mean, you usually keep about 5 running backs, and McCluster is kind of more like a slot receiver type guy. He's a versatile guy that you can move around. Andrews would be a guy who would, one of those guys, maybe Sankey might be gone because he's had a couple of years to try and prove it, but between Andrews, Sankey, and David Cobb, if they did go that direction, they'd likely have one of those guys as a game day inactive. But whatever, we'll find out if they get that opportunity. And if you're a big fan of Derrick Henry, and there are a lot of people out there that have tweeted us about the Jaguars selecting Derrick Henry, which is something I don't think is likely at all.
Ryan O'Halloran's a fan of that move, right?
Ryan O'Halloran is a fan of always drafting offensive players, right? You got to consider that to some degree. He is. He would rather beat you 60-45 than worry about necessarily balancing things out. But that's fine. He's not alone. And a lot of people think Derrick Henry could be an exceptional player. I think there's a lot of the hometown kid or the local kid, however you want to look at it, from Yulee, coming back and playing his NFL career here in Jacksonville. How cool would that be? Well, it would be pretty cool. I just think the Jags have made it clear. We all see the roster. The need is strongly on the defensive side of the football for them, and I think he's likely off the board. I think that Derrick Henry could go in the first round under the right circumstance. Depends on how high Ezekiel Elliott goes. He said he's the most versatile guy, and that's what sets him apart among the other running backs. I think most people agree that Ezekiel Elliott is a part at the top among the rest of the guys because he's got more lateral quickness. He has more of an ability to make you miss, I think, than Derrick Henry is perceived to have while running with a similar, if not equal, power to Derrick Henry, a good between-the-tackles runner, but can maybe do a few more things. But if he goes off the board, say, to the Giants at 10, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that a team in the first round, like the Jets losing Chris Ivory, could want to replace him with a cheaper alternative, albeit a first-round pick. He's still probably going to be cheaper than the contract Ivory's looking for and with less wear and tear than Chris Ivory, at least at the professional level. He certainly would come in with none, although, as we mentioned, a lot of carries last year. So we'll see how that whole thing plays out. I'm very curious to see what Derrick Henry runs as
Derrick
far
Henry,
as
Henry, a big boy. 22 bench reps yesterday.
He is a big boy. Is 22 a lot, though?
The most for any running back was 25.
Is that right?
Yeah, the least was 12, so that kind of puts him in that upper echelon.
The least was 12.
The least was 12.
You know, my personal best when I was in shape, like 3 or 4 years ago, seriously, my best was 13 reps at 225. So who's that sucker that I'm stronger than?
Shadrack Thornton.
Shadrack
Thornton. No relation to J.P. Shadrack.
You suck, okay? You are weak, buddy, because I was a 43-year-old man throwing that bar up there 13 times, all right? Tyler, I dream to get it back, but every day that
goes
by. Did
you hear Tony Baselli yesterday on Jaguars Thursday?
What did he say?
He was talking about the bench. I think I don't want to mess up his words, but I'm pretty sure he said he would only bench twice between his training offseason going into the draft because he knew he was never going to be a good bench presser.
Right.
So he only benched twice. He said, well, why should I put all this effort into benching when I may only get up to 16 reps? So he really didn't even focus on bench at all.
And what did he do, rep-wise?
I think he may have done 13.
No, he didn't
or,
do that.
No. I think he was saying I may have done like 27. I ended up doing 20 or something like that. He said there's no difference between doing 26 and doing 20, so why do the extra effort, you know? So, along those lines.
Says the guy who did 20, right? There's no difference between doing 40 and doing 30, says the guy who did 30.
Yeah, he knew. The scouts had all told him that he's going to go in the top 10 regardless, so the bench press didn't impact his draft stock.
I get it. Tony was the well-deserved number 2 overall pick in the draft, and I'm not saying that the bench press is any indication of anything necessarily. But I do find it funny that the guy who had 20, according to the way you're telling the story, would say that there's no difference between that and a higher number. You don't hear that in the reverse very often. Today, we ask you to put on your draft analyst hats to some degree as, you know, I think the Jaguars Today audience is a pretty savvy one. You keep up with the information, the trends, and the mock drafts and all the different things that are out there, the opinion pieces. So you tell us today. It doesn't have to be necessarily a guy that has been mocked to the Jacksonville Jaguars, but someone that's considered a high first round or second round prospect. I said that incorrectly. A high draft pick, a highly regarded draft prospect, a first or second round consideration type guy. Doesn't have to be a top 5 overall player, but out of all these players that you hear, maybe it's Derrick Henry. Maybe you think his running style in the NFL is going to cause him to take too many big hits. And therefore, he's not going to have the same success that he had at Alabama, winning the Heisman Trophy and the national championship and all that. Who is, out of all these draft prospects that are getting the hype this year, the most overrated single player in your opinion? Who's the guy that your gut just tells you, you know what? I don't see it with Joey Bosa or Jalen Ramsey. Or maybe it's Carson Wentz coming out of North Dakota State. Or maybe it's Laramie Tunsil. Or maybe it's somebody that you've seen projected somewhere in the middle of round 2. Wherever it is, who's the most highly rated prospect that you think is overrated in your opinion going into the 2016 draft? You can share your thoughts with us on Twitter today. That's the Tom Bush Family Dealerships fan feedback question of the day at MD_1010XL and at 1010XL Tyler, as well as the Jaguars Today Facebook page, which is open for business. Tony's got an update momentarily live from Indy. Then he will join me coming up in a few moments as well to discuss the week that has been and what's to come as well for coverage on 1010XL later on today. Friday's brought to you by Bob Roberts First Coast Roofing. Jaguars Today taking you live to Indianapolis next right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. All right, here we go on this Friday. Friday's brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Donna Murphy spinning the hits, ladies and gentlemen. Hi, Murph.
What up?
How are you?
Great.
It's worth coming back to do basically a week of shows here at 1010 just to see you on this Friday.
It's fun.
They like to have that producer meeting right smack dab in the middle of our Friday show.
That they know because it brings us back to our old
bat, and they realize that nobody's really going to miss Tyler. Right? I mean, if it happens right in the middle of the segment, he can walk right out. Whether you're here or not, nobody's going to notice he's gone. I appreciate the fact that you're here with me on this Friday. Also with us on this Friday, Donna Murphy. Let's go to Indianapolis. Say hello to Fat Tony and from the Florida Times Union, Mr. Ryan O'Halloran. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
You know, I kind of had the feeling when I heard that song coming back that Tyler probably wasn't in the room.
No, like, he dipped out,
kinda,
right.
You just kind of knew that it wasn't going to be Tyler choosing that particular music bed to come back today.
Well, you know, it would have been heavy Timberlake, obviously, for O'Halloran, but what can I tell you? That's just the way it went this morning. Guys, give me scuttlebutt. What are we finding out? What do we know? Give me behind-the-scenes scoop. Ryan O'Halloran, tell me that you have picked the brain of Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley, and they have told you all the secrets of what their plans are for this offseason.
Well, they have, and they will remain secret.
And I can't share them with you, Dempsey. You're right.
Correct, but you know, I thought, like I wrote in today's paper, was it was sort of a bizarro Jaguar world yesterday where, you know, for 3 years we've been coming here and the topic for the Jaguars, okay, how can you make this offense functional? We're going to do it in the draft. You're going to do it in free agency. But you're going to be not so much conservative, although I think that's the word that fit, but you're not going to make any rash decisions that's going to ruin your cap for the future. Well, the future is right now. You have the cap space. You have the needs on defense. So it's like it's a 180 for Caldwell yesterday in terms of he was making no secret that, okay, help on defense in the draft, majority of the picks, help on defense in free agency with the cap space, with the war chest they've built up.
You guys get the sense that he thinks he can build it in this one off season from where it is now to where it needs to be, at least to match the step forward that the offense took, Tony? And the reason I bring that up is because when he was on yesterday with Frank and Rick, and we'll replay that interview coming up next, or at least cuts from that interview coming up in starting next segment, he indicated that, you know, we wanted to build the offense first and then spend a couple of years building the defense. Are we in the year one of a couple of year process to get this defense where it needs to be?
No, I think it started last year, and that's why they spent the number three pick on Dante Fowler Jr. It just didn't work out. He didn't get the opportunity to play, and I think something Dave said at the podium yesterday when he spoke here at the Combine was he doesn't expect him to be a top five defense in 2016, but he thinks he can turn it around to the point where they are kind of that mid-level defense, get somewhere in that 10 to 16 range. I think he does believe that is out there for this football team with Derek Marks coming back, with Dante Fowler Jr. coming in, with whatever they're going to be able to do with that number five pick, plus what they can spend in free agency compared to everybody else, assuming at least one of these guys that they covet actually hits free agency and they're allowed to go spend the kind of money that they need to go bring him in. I think he does feel like they can at least get this to a mid-NFL level defense in one offseason. I kind of buy it. I don't think it's an easy thing, but I kind of buy that they can make that kind of leap. I don't know if you do or not, Ryan.
I would probably go on the lower end, but then again, I did that last year on offense. You know, one thing that Dave did point out, and then also in a side session outside here yesterday, was, hey, you know, it may not be the biggest name on the market, but it may be a couple guys who can have starting experience and can help a team. So, you know, I think what their strategy is, they're trying to plot is, okay, if they earmark X amount of money for defense, is it the right decision to go for three guys that have a combined cap hit of, you know, $20 million, or is it for two guys that have a combined hit of 25? I think it's more going to be the quantity. But the thing that the Jaguars are also admitting is guys they want may not be available. And once they if they are available, is they're going to have to overpay, because right now it is a players market, because there's a lot of teams that need help and there aren't enough players to go around.
And there's a ton of teams with cap space, guys. And, you know, the closer it gets, and we know how this process works every year, right, that guys we see as potential targets for the Jaguars and other teams start to get glommed up by the teams that they currently play for, whether through the franchise tag like Von Miller and Josh Norman and those kind of guys may get, or guys we're seeing, you know, they're optimistic they get a deal done with Von Miller. Maybe that leads to franchise tag for Malik Jackson if something works out with Osweiler in Denver. You hear Miami would like to get something for Olivier Vernon. If he's going to go, maybe they tag him and try to trade him. Are you getting the sense, Ryan and Tony, that it is going to be a much less attractive list of players available to the Jags when free agency opens up than we currently hope?
Well, I think the key one is Vernon. I don't think the Broncos would tag Jackson either way, because of that salary that would be locked in if he decided to sign it.
Would he be? Can you tag him as a defensive end or tackle, or is there a difference?
On offense, it's a blanket for the O line, so that's why guys don't get centers and guards don't generally get tagged.
Right.
I would think the same on defense. One thing that last year, you know, that McCourty didn't get tagged but signed, Cobb didn't get tagged but signed. I asked Dave about that yesterday, and he thought that the trend he was hearing this week is that if a guy isn't tagged, he's probably going to hit the market, which to me is good for the Jaguars.
No, I would totally agree with you. And look, I think it's the Vernon thing I do think is kind of the key to this whole thing, whether or not he actually hits free agency is going to be huge for this team, because it certainly feels like that's going to be one of the primary targets for the Jags if he does actually hit those free agent waters. And I think he's a key piece for them going into the offseason, because it gives them some flexibility with some of the other decisions that they can make along that defensive line. Mike, you and I talked about this a little bit yesterday. I don't think they feel like they're set anywhere on the defensive line. I think they feel like they can add bodies and add names at any of those four positions right now, and a guy that can come in and play multiple positions for them gives them some that extra level of flexibility, which would be a guy like Malik Jackson, who can come in and play a couple different positions on that line. Olivier Vernon to come in and be a more veteran presence as opposed to whatever you're going to get out of Dante Fowler. And I wouldn't be surprised if on top of that they signed a guy that was 32, 33 years old that only had a year or two left that could play that Leo spot. It wouldn't surprise me if they tried to get all that done in this offseason. But, again, we don't know what's going to be out there for him in 2 weeks. And the Von Miller deal getting done may be an indication that Denver is about to be able to turn their sights full force for 2 weeks on Malik Jackson and try to keep him in-house.
Yeah, it's interesting. Ryan, go ahead. Finish your thought on that.
Well, just to piggyback on that is where Dave Caldwell is going to be tested is how – he knows he's going to have to overpay for some of these guys. How far is he willing to jump off the bridge? 5 years, $75 million from Malik Jackson. I don't think the Jaguars would be willing to go to that number for a guy who wants to be paid like J.J. Watt but isn't. Vernon, I think they would, you know, bite the bullet and say, okay, you know, we feel he's an ascending player. The numbers would suggest he's not a premier getting paid pass rusher, but they have to do it. So, you know, I think in their mind they're going to go well above on maybe one guy, but they're not going to do it for three guys because that, to me, then they're just sort of running in place. So go, you know, overpay for one guy, and then, you know, for the other guys, say, okay, we have a limit. We're not going to go over that.
Hey guys, not a lot of talk about Bruce Irvin potentially coming here, and he makes sense, and obviously there was a lot of thought he would go to Atlanta because he's from there. Dan Quinn is there now. Do you think we have focused a lot on the defensive line and somewhat on the secondary as well as safeties that are available? What about that linebacking core? Do you expect that maybe they look to add a starter or at least upgrade the overall unit through free agency?
Well, I think Irvin may be a plan B or C because, you know, they like Telvin, but they like Scooter. And when you're in nickel 65% of the time and they still feel Posluszny is a three-down backer, I know fans are going to, you know, storm the stadium with pitchforks, but they feel he played well last year. So with a Bruce Irvin type, is they think, you know, maybe they think he's going to be going to Atlanta right away. If he's still out there in 2 and 3 days after the market opens, maybe they circle back on him.
Yeah, and whatever big splash they're going to make, you expect day one that the Jags are going to sign one of these big-name guys that we have been talking about if they hit free agency to a contract. That would be the expectation. Maybe it does make sense for them to wait a couple days on Irvin, who also said that he'd be willing to take a hometown discount to stay in Seattle after the comments last offseason where it made it sound like it was basically a done deal that he would be going to Atlanta. So I know Gus Bradley coached him, but I don't know how much that means at this point going into this offseason.
Well, and you make a good point there about Gus coaching him a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Gus thinks he's not the player he was, you know, 3.5-4 years ago, and maybe Dan Quinn says, okay, I've only been gone a year. I still like what I see. So, you know, and I also think that pertains to Alex Mack. If Mack hits the market, the Jaguars made a full-court press for him 2 years ago. That was 2 years and one broken leg ago. I don't think they're going to make that kind of offer again. If he's out there and it's a reasonable deal, then I think maybe they'll pursue that. But I don't think they're going to put a ton of money toward Mack if he's out there.
Ryan, do you think they're happier with the overall players and talent that they have available currently on the roster on the O-line, more so than the public at large and maybe the media is?
I think so. I mean, they are committed to Luke Joeckel at left tackle for this year. They are committed to Jeremy Parnell at right tackle, and they like Can and Linder on the field. It doesn't matter what position, so that leaves one spot open. So I think they feel they have the young pieces in place, and they also feel that they have some depth. Maybe they'll add a veteran swing guy, but you know, they probably have a higher opinion of their line right now than those outside the building.
Yeah, and left guard's going to be interesting because it certainly sounds right now like Linder and Can are going to be playing center and right guard in some combination. That's what it feels like right now, but what they're going to be doing at left guard, many expected Zane Beatles will probably be released, and that certainly is the feeling that you get around this team, especially with the money they can save letting him go. But there's really no penalty for them waiting on making that decision. I think it's like $500,000 if they wait until after March 12th to make that decision that they'd be on the hook for as compared to before that. So when they do it really doesn't matter. So they may want to wait to see what is available to him in free agency. Heck, he may be one of those guys who has to wait until after the draft to find out whether he's going to be
on
this roster.
That would surprise me.
But I think left guard is where they're going to have to figure out what they want to do on that offensive line and how they want to fit those two pieces at center and right guard. But for fans who think that they're going to go out, and I agree with you, put that four-court press on Mack, I just don't get that sense from them talking to them this week. I think they really are confident that Brandon Linder or A.J. Cann is going to be the center for this team going forward, and they like Bowenko, but they don't know where to get him on the field. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an issue for him, too, and maybe he can play left guard. We just don't know. We haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, and they need, like Gus pointed out this week, this run game was bad, and then it was really bad when Yeldon was hurt. So, you know, they have to get better run blocking up front, and then to help that, they need more depth at tailback. So, you know, maybe the running back class, you know, either later in the draft or maybe they kick the tires on some veterans when the market opens.
All right, let's wrap with this for now at least. Ryan, today's question of the day is when you assess the hyped draft prospects, whether they're top of the first round guys or just guys that are generally considered to go off the board in the first couple of rounds consensus-wise right now. I know nobody's worked out in Indianapolis. That begins today. But who do you get the sense, who does your gut tell you is the most overhyped, overrated prospect that's being talked up in this year's draft class?
Whew. Overhyped. I mean, I want to put Tunsil in that class right now because, you know, obviously, I haven't seen him play a lot, but he didn't play a lot of football this year because of the suspension. And to me, he didn't bench press yesterday, and he's not running the 40 today. What are you hiding, pal? You know, this is an opportunity to start separating yourself. He says he's saving it for his pro day, but this came on Wednesday when all he talked about is how much he likes to compete and how he's going to tackle all these drills. Well, then he doesn't do any of them. So, to me, that's a red flag. I mean, I'm probably blowing out of proportion, but, you know, I think for a guy who's a third-year guy who hasn't started a ton of games, I think he's overhyped.
Yeah, there's an argument to be made, though. If you're in the catbird seat, why do anything that could only hurt you? If you're number one, you can't go up, right? And so as long as he does well and performs well in those drills at his pro day, not saying he will, but if he does, I don't think that will be ultimately held against him.
Well, so you, Mike, you just answered that question is, okay, if you're so confident, if you're in the catbird seat, then you work out here and then you put up better numbers at the pro day.
I don't think it works like that.
You only have one shot at the board.
No, that's true. But if you're confident in yourself that you can get that done, if you work out here and you put up good numbers, you're not working out at your pro day. You're not lifting all those things. You'll sit there. We see it every year. Guys say, I'm going to rest on my numbers from the combine. And maybe he feels like he wants more time to maximize those numbers. I don't know. I'm just saying, when you're in that number one spot, if he were to go out and bench press, I don't know, 25 reps or whatever seems like a pretty good number for an offensive lineman, nobody would hype him up anymore. But if you were to go out there and throw up 12 reps, then all that's going to be talked about when it comes to Laramie Tunsil is that until he tops out at his pro day, if he was able to. So I get both sides of that, why you wouldn't. But that's your opinion. That's why we asked you. What do you got coming up, Ryan, over the course of the weekend? When are you heading back to Jacksonville, by the way?
Fly back tomorrow night.
Okay.
Tomorrow's paper will, a bunch of the defensive linemen are coming in. So we'll probably tackle some of those guys. And then for Sunday, one of the things I've been reporting throughout the week is Jalen Ramsey. Is he a safety? Is he a corner? Does it matter in terms of his draft prospects? And you know, I think that's going to be in the eye of the beholder. I talked to one person this week who said if the Jaguars sign a corner and sign a free safety, he would still take Jalen Ramsey. He's that unique of a player on defense.
Interesting.
So that'll be in Sunday's paper.
Well, we will certainly watch for that, Ryan. Good stuff, man. We'll look forward to getting you back in studio when we settle back into Jacksonville next week.
Okay, Mike. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy. Ryan O'Halloran of the Florida Times Union, at Ryan O'Halloran on Twitter. Fat Tony's up there in Indy. We'll get back with him coming up a little bit later on in the program as well, including more of his conversation with the head coach of the Jaguars, Gus Bradley, plus Dave Caldwell. You're going to hear from him coming up shortly. This date in football, the how to drive around the NFL, all that and more still to come. We'll get you ready for a big weekend event here going down at the Morocco Shrine Auditorium. That's next. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. All right, Jaguars Today. Friday's brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Some things change, some things don't. Tyler, I haven't been back in the 1010XL studios for a while. I find that the remote control works as well as ever when trying to change these TV stations.
So it's not working.
No, it's not. Exactly. So instead of watching offensive linemen do meaningless drills at the combine, instead I get to watch round two of the FIFA voting for the new president of FIFA to replace Sepp Blatter.
Did you see any money exchange hands?
No, I think they're savvy enough to keep it literally under the table. But no, I have not. And there's Jeremy Schapp. You know, if Jeremy Schapp is on the scene, It's a riveting story that you want to be a part of.
Serious stuff's going down with Jeremy Schaaf reporting.
I'm getting it right now that Gianni Infantino is leading. Led after one ballot. He's your favorite now going into round two of the FIFA presidential voting. On the edge of my seat right now. You know what else is coming up 15 minutes from now? The Jacksonville Greek Festival starts off for 2016. It goes until 10 o'clock tonight at the Morocco Shrine Auditorium. It goes all day tomorrow from 10 until 10. And then Sunday, five more hours of entertainment. And when I say entertainment, the Odyssey Greek Band is playing all weekend long. They've got a DJ. There's going to be music. There's going to be food. There's going to be culture. There's going to be fun. We got Father Nick.
And me and JJ. We're going to be there.
Are you guys going to be there?
We're going to go. You just told us.
Did I?
It's right across the street from JJ's apartment, so we're going to go check it out.
Well, there you go. JJ is not the kind of guy that strikes me that would take a long trip anywhere. So right across the street seems right up his alley. Seriously, $3 a pop to get in. You can't beat it. Kids get in free. Father Nicholas Lowe from St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church joining us right now on 1010XL. Big supporters of the program. It certainly made our trip to Super Bowl 50 possible. Father Nick, how are you, buddy?
Doing great, Mike. How are you doing, brother?
Very excited. Excited for the weekend. I got my tickets from Nick Furis, our mutual friend, and sounds like a lot going on. You guys have to be very proud, once again, with a great lineup of entertainment that you've got.
Absolutely. You know, it's amazing what our church family has been able to do over this weekend. They have been working for months and months preparing for this weekend. It's going to be amazing. And not only is it just an opportunity for people to come out and have some family fun, try some amazing Greek food, desserts, view some great Greek dancing, and just an opportunity to kind of step out of Jacksonville for a little bit, kind of step into Greece for a few hours. We promise, and what we've told everyone is that we promise that you're going to have a great time here. And a portion of the proceeds, as we do every year, is going to benefit something that's near and dear to your heart and mine, and that's Wolfson's Children's Hospital.
Yeah, Wolfson's Children's Hospital does a tremendous job, and a lot of the proceeds go to benefit that. A lot go into the church building fund as well to support the Greek community here, which has been, as I mentioned, great supporters of this program and the sports scene here in Jacksonville. Father Nick, give me a sample. I think there are a lot of people like me who like what they like, and they stay with things they know. And so when you're sampling other cultures, we're a little tentative at times. Give us an example of some kind of Greek food that maybe the average person hasn't tried that they absolutely have to try if they get over to the Morocco Shrine Auditorium this weekend.
Well, you know, most people will know what we say in English as a gyro, but in Greek we call it a gyro sandwich. And those are amazing because they have a unique, what they call a tzatziki sauce, like a yogurt sauce with different herbs and garlic, and it's amazing. That's definitely a choice, but there's also an outstanding lamb shank. And if you love lamb or never really had lamb cooked in a Greek style, that's something that I would encourage you for sure to try. And then there's the traditional souvlaki sandwiches or the souvlaki platter. There's amazing foods, and God knows the desserts are amazing as well. We've got some. If you like baklava, if you want to try some unique Greek desserts that maybe you've never even heard of, they're all going to be here at the Morocco Shrine. So it'll be an amazing opportunity just for you to kind of see, you know, to try a lot of food, but also to kind of experience different types of Greek dances. And there's a multitude of different types of dancing that's going to be done. We've got young children to adults being part of our Greek dance troops that are here in our community, and it'll just be a great opportunity for you for people just to kind of witness a little bit what goes on in Greece and how we celebrate during these festive times.
And not only in Greece, Father Nick, but right here in Jacksonville, the Greek community is so strong, and you guys are so supportive of one another, and that really keeps the culture going. And I know the Greek community is very proud of the culture that they originate from, and they're Americans here in Jacksonville, but they also maintain strong ties to the homeland, so to speak, and they love to celebrate that.
Absolutely. I mean, let me tell you, you know, this community, our church family has been here. We're celebrating actually this year, Mike, 100 years in Jacksonville. We're one of the oldest parishes in the city and one of the oldest Greek Orthodox parishes in the country. So Jacksonville is a special place for the Greek Orthodox Church on a national level because of its history. So we're really excited about that. And, you know, to be quite honest with you, we've got so many people who are not even Greek ethnically, but that are part of our church family that just, you know, enjoy the traditions, the hospitality, and also the origins of our faith dating back to 2,000 years when Christ first came on this earth. So there's a lot of opportunities that you'll experience when you see and come and visit the Greek festival. So we encourage everyone to do so.
Well, I'm as Irish as they come, and you have welcomed me into the family, so to speak, Father Nick. You and all your compatriots there with St. John of the Divine Greek Orthodox Church, your parishioners, have been fantastic to me and, very, as I said, very supportive of this. And we hope folks support a very unique cultural experience right here on the First Coast. Only $3 for adults. Are you kidding me? You can have a full day of fun. Phenomenal food, phenomenal entertainment, great music, great dancing, different cultural aspects. You can find out there's going to be all kinds of arts and crafts and things like that. And, of course, the Ouzo. As well, Father Nick, is an option if you're of age, and hopefully you bring a designated driver with you.
Right, and, you know, all of this is taking place at the Morocco Shrine. It's very simple to remember. It's 3800 St. John's Bluff Boulevard. And, Mike, I'd love if you came, you'd be our guest. We'd love to see you here, partner.
Well, I'm going to try to make it out on Sunday with my wife, so I'm looking forward to that. Again, the Morocco Shrine Auditorium, everybody knows where that is by now. Mm-hmm. $3 for adults, kids 12 and under, are free for military as well. Big supporters of the military. It's happening all day. In fact, it opens up in less than 10 minutes today and goes until 10 o'clock tonight, from 10 a.m. till 10 p.m. tomorrow, and 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. on Sunday at the Morocco Shrine Auditorium. It's the Jacksonville Greek Festival. For more information on events and the entertainment schedule, it's all posted at JacksGreekFest.com, and you can get everything right there at the click of a button. Father Nicholas, we know it's going to be a spectacular event. I hope to see you out there this weekend, but thanks for taking a few minutes to share your thoughts and tell us what it's all about.
Thank you, Mike, for all your support, too, and thanks to our 1010 family.
All right, there you go, 1010 family. Father Nicholas Lowe and the St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church folks are a big part of that, and they certainly made our trip out to Super Bowl 50 possible, as they have probably for the last 8 years or so. Love those guys. They do a great job, and they put on a spectacularly entertaining festival, and this weekend I'm sure will be no exception to that. All right, coming up next, we've got This Date in Football. We've got the Honda Drive around the NFL. Then we'll hear some of the thoughts of Dave Caldwell as he sat down yesterday with Frank Frangie and Rick Ballew live here on 1010XL. More coverage of the NFL Scouting Combine coming up Fridays, brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, This Date in Football History.
All right, let's get down to This Date in Football History on February 26th. Not a whole lot historically happened, but some significant birthdays to note. In 1966, happy 50th to Wesley Walls, born in this date 50 years ago, longtime Carolina Panther, San Francisco 49er, and part-time New Orleans Saint as well, a five-time Pro Bowler Wesley Walls was. Marshall Faulk, NFL running back with the Colts first and the Rams, where he really thrived. Seven-time Pro Bowler, three-time first-team All-Pro, and a Hall of Fame inductee in 2011. In fact, he won the AP MVP back in 2000. He also won the Pro Football Writers Association of America Most Valuable Player Award in that year and the following year. So a two-time MVP, depending on what service you look towards for your awards. And Marshall Faulk turns 43 years old today. Former Mandarin High star by way of Florida State into the NFL with the Buffalo Bills. Sam Cowart turns 41 years young today. And Robert Mathis, born on this date in 1981, a five-time Pro Bowler with the Indianapolis Colts, one-time first-team All-Pro. He is 35 years old, and that pretty much wraps it up for this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
The Ravens placed their franchise tag on the kicker, Justin Tucker, about $4.5 million for Tucker over the next year. He nailed every single one of his PATs. While six of his seven field goal misses on the season were from 50-plus. And speaking of the Ravens, Mike, not really sure what they're doing with this next move, but they are in serious discussions. He signed former first-round draft pick and running back from Alabama, Trent Richardson. How about that one,
Mike? The hell do they want Trent Richardson for?
That's what I'm very confused
Ozzie Newsom's
about.
An Alabama legacy.
That's exactly what John Harbaugh said at the Combine yesterday. He said, we're talking to him. He seems like a good guy. I've talked to him on the phone a few times. Ozzie has all the ties from Alabama. We'll see where it goes.
Well, wait a minute. Brent Beard's a good guy. He went to Alabama. Sign him. Are you kidding me?
He probably can run a faster 40
Trent
than
Trent. Richardson's terrible. He's terrible.
Very bad. I said the possibility. By the way, Trent did not play a single snap for anybody in 2015, Mike. Former Auburn running back, or wide receiver, that is, Duke Williams, had an interesting quote while speaking at the Combine yesterday. Quote, I'm a first-round pick no matter what, Williams said Thursday. But off the field, I'm a seventh-round pick. My character is seventh-round. Last October, you'll remember, Williams was dismissed from the Auburn football team for his involvement in a club fight. They last in a series of suspensions for him and rules violations at the school. On Thursday, he appeared contrite, saying he cried night after night following the dismissal from the Auburn football team. So he's trying to get his life back on track. And finally, Mike McCarthy says Eddie Lacy, or they want Eddie Lacy to get back in shape, but they're disputing the report from Ian Rappaport, who said that the Packers want Lacy to lose 30 pounds. And McCarthy says, basically, that's not true. We want him to lose 50. No, I'm just kidding.
Right, exactly. 30 is not nearly enough. He's only 29 pounds overweight.
I love the fat Eddie Lacy jokes, especially when he had that big run against the Cardinals in the playoffs. Oh, my God, it took him about 12 seconds to run 60 yards.
Yes, it did. I think just Eddie Lacy is the easiest joke you can make. That's just, that's what we refer to him as until he
fat Eddie Lacy.
He trims down. Just Eddie Lacy. You don't need anything more than that. That's what you got. I guess the Auburn guys took some honesty pills this week, right? I mean, you've got the one guy said, my mom's homeless. That's why I came out for the draft. And now Duke Williams said, basically, I'm scum. I'm a very talented guy, but I'm not a very good person. So at least he's being honest, right? I mean, if it's well known that you've got a reputation for not being a good guy, I guess don't run from it. I don't know if that helps him get drafted or not, that honesty, but...
Did you see all the people digging up on Eddie Lacy's Twitter feed when he made those runs, when he was looking really fat in the playoffs? People were digging up all these food tweets from Eddie Lacy. Like, Eddie Lacy would be sitting in class back, like, in 2010 at Alabama and say, man, can't wait to go get a burrito right now. And people would go back and retweet all these food tweets because, obviously, he's fat.
Yeah, who doesn't like a box of moon pies as a mid-afternoon snack? And, hey, you know what? Eddie, good luck to you, buddy. That's all I can say. Hey, you know what? Did I complain about not being able to watch a combine?
You got it on now, right?
I got it on now because Donna Murphy came in here. Murphy's a miracle worker. She's great. Have you heard? I'm really a fan. Donna Murphy came in, and now I can watch all these offensive linemen in their kick slide drills, which is very important.
And Mike Mularkey front and center right now.
He is front and center right now. Mike Mularkey, I'm sure the narrative, he's focusing on Laramie Tunsil, who apparently is not doing much of the workout in Indianapolis. Mike Mularkey, is he scratching Tunsil off of his short list and moving on to Ronnie Stanley of Notre Dame? I kind of doubt it. Mike Mularkey, is this video of Mike Mularkey without any audio for me to hear is as exciting as Mike Mularkey's tenure in Jacksonville
he's
was.
He's scratching his
for
chin
the entire
he's
year.
Deep thought.
Yeah, he just sits there like a lump on a log, and hopefully he has that same kind of effect on the Tennessee Titans. Hey, let's talk about our Jacksonville Jaguars here. Dave Caldwell on yesterday with Frank and Rick live in Indianapolis at the Scouting Combine, talking about the importance of why a guy becomes a free agent. In other words, if they're free, is there a reason that their team didn't want them back?
Our motto is if we have a good player and we really like him, we're not going to let him go for nothing and not get anything in return. So you wonder why. So you try to target the teams that maybe have cap issues or cash issues or maybe that there's a guy that they drafted last year that's a young up-and-coming player and they're just going to go with that guy. So you have to find out the reasons. Why is he going to be a free agent? And then you have to be comfortable with that. And then, like last year, the guys we got, you know, Jared Odrick and Julius Thomas, Devon House, you know, those teams had issues keeping him from financial reasons. So you felt good about it. Hey, they just couldn't keep him. They wanted to keep him, but they couldn't do it.
It's becoming more and more prevalent, though, now that teams don't have that issue, right? Everybody's got cap space, it seems. So you got to keep that in mind as well. It becomes a question, are you willing to overpay sometimes, too? You want to keep your guys, are you willing to overpay your own guys? You know what their value is. You've got an up-close look at them. Sometimes you have to overpay in the free agency process. I understand what Caldwell's saying as well. You don't want, if you've got a guy on your roster, you don't want him to walk away with no compensation. So when teams are allowing players to do that, you have to question why is that happening. Dave Caldwell as well was asked about not always getting the guy you want, whether that's the draft or free agency.
Both of them, you put a lot of legwork in for seven picks. You know, you know, 1,500 players and you only get to pick seven of them. Well, the free agency is the same way. You know, if you're evaluating 350 of them, you may only get one or two, and it may only be one or two that you like, and it's not the top 12 options you had. So you just have to be prepared and see who comes out. And there'll be another wave. You know, there'll be the free agency. But now there'll be the guys that the team signs player X, but now they got cap issues, so they got to cut player Y. And that guy might be able to come in and help you for a year or two. And there will be another wave of free agents coming available in the next week or two.
Caldwell said one of the keys, or maybe the key, in free agency is to be able to have two polar opposite seemingly attitudes. You want to be aggressive and cautious at the same time.
The key is to be aggressive but to be cautious at the same time, because the reality is the core of our team is in their first and second and third year, and they're going to be ready to be renegotiated with in a year or two. And we don't want to get in that situation where we can't keep guys we want to keep, like some of these teams. So the key is to keep an eye on the future. Make sure you still have enough money in reserve if it's a Blake Bortles or an Allen Robinson or an Allen Hurns, and say, hey, let's get this guy locked up for a long period of time, because what we said from the beginning is we want to build this where we're sustainable for a long period of time. Now, we feel like we're close to getting to that winning record and that winning team, and then once we get there, we feel like, hey, we can keep that going for a long period of time.
All right, you know, what I mentioned this yesterday is one of the things that the Jags do have a plan. Whether you agree with the plan or like the plan, they've had a plan, and they've that's one of the reasons they hired John Idzik. They bring him in, and they're trying to not only look at how much money they can spend this year, what's available, but as Dave Caldwell alluded to, guys are coming up. Guys are going to be up for contract extensions. We haven't seen too many of those in the last few years, but now that you're starting to have some success with some of your draft picks, guys like that, like Allen Hurns, who was undrafted, is eligible for an extension this offseason. Next year, you're going to have a whole wave of these guys that are eligible for contract extensions that you'd like to keep around, hopefully, here in Jacksonville. And somebody said, well, no, they don't have a plan. They're just cheap. I mean, that is the – look, I get it. If you're cynical, the results haven't been there for the Jags. They have a plan. I think they actually have a very methodical plan. Maybe they haven't been aggressive enough, and probably for my taste, they haven't been in free agency. I would have gone after a few more veteran guys to help the win total over the last couple of years, even if they're not all going to be in your long-term plans. Not everybody has to be a part of – you're not going to have 53 guys that all mature together and you can keep together for 8 years in the National Football League. It doesn't work that way, but it was interesting to see what the reaction was talking about that. Yesterday, Caldwell talking about the draft, as well as, you know, there's always going to be some risk with these guys that haven't played in the National Football League. The key is to try to minimize that risk.
Well, I think when it comes to the draft, it's you want to minimize as much risk as you can.
Yeah.
So you want to take in all the information. You want to take the scouting reports. You want to take all the player evaluation, the psychological tests, the intelligence tests, the physical tests that we're going to see in the field, the interviews. And then if you can answer all the questions and check all the boxes, you feel good about drafting that player. And then as the draft goes on and you get into the third, fourth, fifth round, you're going to have less and less boxes checked.
Right.
Well, what's important to you? What's important to your team? And then if you go down in the sixth, seventh round, you know, you may only have one box checking, like, well, this is important to us because it's a wide receiver and he's a 4-3 guy or whatever it may be.
All right, a couple more from Dave Caldwell. Coming up, by the way, if you missed the conversation yesterday, Fat Tony did a great job sitting down with Gus Bradley and getting to some of the issues that I'm sure Jaguar fans want to hear addressed. That's coming up on the program in a few minutes. But Dave Caldwell asked about another position that we haven't talked as much about, but certainly is one of the focuses in fixing this offseason, and that is the free safety position.
You probably want to find yourself a short-term solution until you can get it done in the draft. And sometimes, just like quarterbacks, as you know, you may stumble on one in late rounds, fifth round, and say, hey, you took this guy, James Sample, in the fourth round last year. Maybe he will end up being the guy. But until that happens, let's go to free agency and bridge a gap until we can find that guy. And so we'll look at all possibilities there in free agency. And you're never going to have the perfect team. And if you can, you know, if you're one player short of a free safety, but you have 10 other really good players in defense, you're going to be more than successful. And
yeah, I don't think that precludes them from drafting Jalen Ramsey in the first round, but you look, they might not have the opportunity to draft Jalen Ramsey. If the mocks are any indication, he could very likely be off the board by the fifth pick in the draft. And I think a lot of people think, you know, look at whether it's Tayshaun Gibson, whether it's Eric Weddle. Love to see Eric Berry make it to unrestricted. I don't think he will. There are some free agent safeties that you think could come in here and help this football team, even if it's on a shorter term type situation. What about the left tackle? Much maligned player here in Jacksonville, Luke Jokel, hasn't lived up to the expectations that normally attend going as the second pick in the draft. And last year ended on a terrible note, giving up at least 5 sacks against the Houston Texans in the finale. Here's what Dave Caldwell had to say about the Jaguars' left tackle.
If we would have ended after New Orleans or the Colts game, it would be a different narrative right now. He played 15 really good weeks. We're going back. We're looking at every one of his pressures he's given up. And I think there was a period of time where up until the last game, I think he only gave up maybe 2 sacks on the year. And then I look across the league, and I look at the teams that are in the playoffs. I look at teams, you know, across the league, and I don't know if there's a fan base that is really enthralled with their left tackle, because it's a thankless job. It's a thankless position, and you don't realize the 68 plays he plays really well, but the two plays where he gives up a sack against J.J. Watt, you're like, what is he doing?
Right.
Well,
right.
There's probably not a left tackle in the league that can win that battle one-on-one, 70 plays a game. So I think he's good enough to get us where we need to go. I think there's still a high ceiling for him, and I don't think he's reached his potential, and I think Luke knows that too. And so, you know, if there's 22 starting positions in terms of needs, I wouldn't put him in the top fives of where we need to upgrade.
All right, so he didn't consider that a big pressing need for the Jacksonville Jaguars, but I do think it's an oversimplification to say you give up a couple of tackles and 60, 70-odd one-on-ones with J.J. Watt. He gave up 5 sacks, including a bunch of Whitney Merciless as well. They put whoever they wanted over there. Whoever wants one, go line up against Luke Jokel in Week 17. And, you know, I think he played better this year than he had his first couple of years, but...
Aren't like half of Whitney Merciless's career sacks against Luke Jokel?
Quite possibly. I'd like to sit in the film room. And I, honestly, maybe I'd be educated. You know, sit in the film room with Dave Caldwell and watch film on Luke Jokel, the good and the bad, and really get down to the bottom of that, because I think he's one of the most polarizing figures on the squad. And finally, again, Dave Caldwell on live yesterday with Frank Frangie and Rick Ballew here on 1010XL live at the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. Dave Caldwell was asked if he feels more pressure to win in 2016.
I don't. You know, it's always been a high-pressure job from day one. And, you know, when you're sitting there in your first draft ever and you're the second pick in the draft, that's extremely high pressure. So we're fortunate to do what we do, but at the end of the day, there's a lot of people counting on us. And it was the same the last 3 years as there is now. So we feel good about the strides we've made in a lot of areas. The win-loss record, we believe it's going to come. I think our players, if you listen to some of the narrative of their interviews at the Super Bowl and around the league, I think our players are ready. I think they're ready to take this to the next level, and I'm excited to watch this team this year.
I agree the players express that sentiment. I hope they believe in it, and I think, you know, you mostly speak with offensive players. At least we did, although Scooter was out there in San Francisco that we got a chance to talk to this run-through, and they all speak optimistically. You know, the offense took a big step forward, and I get it why Blake Bortles and Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns and guys we spoke to out there would be optimistic about the direction they're taking. They seem to be moving collectively in the right direction. Let's hope the defense catches up quickly. Some of the thoughts of Dave Caldwell. Again, if you missed any of the interviews from Combine Week, just head to 1010XL.com and check out the on-demand section towards the bottom of the homepage. It'll all be right there for you, including Fat Tony, who's coming up with an update live from Indy momentarily, and then we'll hear his conversation with the head coach of the Jaguars, Gus Bradley, coming back on the other side. Friday's brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, Friday's brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Got our issue with your roof? Boy, I hope you don't need to worry about it today. It's gorgeous outside. But if you do, wind damage, hail damage, rain leaking into your house, get it fixed. You don't want to let that go on. Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing has a solution for you. 287-7756. Licensed professionals taking care of you and your home. Not a more important investment that you have than that. Call Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, 287-7756, license number CCC056797 for Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, our Friday sponsor here of Jaguars Today. Fat Tony had a chance to sit down with your head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Gus Bradley, yesterday. Here's how it went.
Live here from the Indianapolis Scouting Combine and joined by Jacksonville Jaguars head coach, Gus Bradley. Gus, thanks for giving us a few minutes today.
Oh, this is great.
I'm going to start with the easy stuff.
Okay. Right?
The easy stuff, and if you answer me honestly, I won't ever ask you again throughout the offseason. Who's the big splash free agent, and who are we taking at number 5?
Yeah. Just two real simple questions.
Absolutely.
You know what? We're really juggling two things at one time. You know, you're looking at the free agency, and I know we spent quite a bit of time on that, and now you got to really switch modes of thought into the combine. And, you know, it's a heightened environment to see these guys on, you know, a level competitive field here. They go out there and get a chance to really show their skill set, so it'll be interesting. But, you know, what a process to go through at both, you know, the free agency and the draft.
Sounds like I'm going to have to keep asking you the question.
Yeah, well, because right now I don't know. I mean, it changes every day, right?
No doubt about it.
Who's available, and you know, I think we're always watching to see if there's anybody who's been franchised.
we're out here in Indianapolis for the scouting combine. Can you take us quickly through what you do this week as a head coach?
Sure. Well, you know, we come here early, and today was a chance to see these guys height and weight and physically see them. And then, you know, we'll get a chance to see them do their bench press this afternoon. And then tonight is when we have our meetings. And it'll be Dave and myself, the coordinators. I believe Shad's coming in town, so he'll get a chance to be in these interviews with us. And then we get 15, 20 minutes with these guys. And, you know, specific questions that we want to ask them and really to see how do they handle themselves in that type of environment. And, you know, I think it just gives you kind of a flavor of what these guys are about.
I know general managers, I've heard them at the podium already here in the first couple days, they talk about the most important aspect for them is the medical evaluation. Really, really, when talking about players, for you, what is the most important part of this week?
Well, I think that the chance to evaluate them, you know, to see them on the field, that's a big part of it. And then the guys that we have in our interviews. You know, if we, you know, we had a chance. Now, the Senior Bowl was a big part of it. You know, here we get them for 15 minutes at the Senior Bowl. We were with those guys for a week. So we have a pretty good idea, and I think that that generated some of the interview questions that we have when we see them tonight, knowing some of the things we experienced with them at the Senior Bowl.
Head Coach Gus Bradley sitting down here with us at the Scouting Combine. They call it the Scouting Combine. Do you guys, as head coaches, do you consider yourselves scouts to some degree?
Well, you know, it's a different perspective. You know, we get a chance to watch the tape, and we offer, you know, we look at it more as a scheme fit, and the scouts look at it more as a skill set. And then I think as a coaching staff, we want to make sure that we don't pigeonhole guys. Ah, they don't fit our scheme. Let's kind of push them off to the side. I think we have to have the flexibility that if they're a good football player and they have a certain skill set, how can we incorporate that into our scheme? And we might have to adjust a little bit. So you get different views. And I think that's one of the things that I really appreciate about our organization. We've always operated with great transparency. And it's really, with this coaching staff and our scouting department, that's something that we hold dear to.
How hard is it to avoid that kind of the tunnel vision you can get with, especially a defense like you guys run, where you have a Leo and an Otto? You have these different names for positions, and you're looking for specific things out of those players. How difficult is it sometimes to just say, well, this guy can just play. We can
right.
find a spot for him. Do you ever feel like you get caught up looking at positions as opposed to player?
Well, I think it's, you know, mainly in the early rounds. You know, you get a guy in the first round that you really like. Boy, you like his skill set and what he has, and he might not be quite a fit. But you might say, you know what, we'll adjust our scheme a little bit to make sure this fits. Where you might not do that so much with a fifth or sixth or seventh round player. So I think you got to, the ego part. Coaches, scouts, we all have egos. And we just want to make sure it doesn't get in the way as we're trying to decide who to take and what's best for the organization.
The team obviously has a scouting department, regional scouts that are working all over the country throughout the year. By the time you get here to Indianapolis, are you pretty locked into a small group of players, or do you feel like you're still evaluating everybody?
I think we're still evaluating because, you know, some of our meetings now have been on the free agency and not as much time on these guys. But when we come back now, you know, that will switch. I mean, we have some things, but free agency is a couple weeks away. And, you know, we'll have some long meetings on these guys that are here at the Combine and just our college guys overall that we're looking at.
Moving away from the combine for a couple minutes, a lot of progress on the offensive side of the ball last season, especially from your quarterback. Have you and Blake discussed what you would like to see him work on this offseason?
Well, I think towards the end of the season, you know, that last meeting that we had before he left the building, you know, I think it's pretty clear for him, too, the areas that he wants to improve on, the areas of, you know, with our players and what he'd like to get accomplished in the offseason. But to have that another year with Greg Olsen and the offense that we, you know, that we've chose to run, I think is going to really pay dividends for him. The receivers and talking to them and the tight ends is, you know, the protection that we use. We just hope that continuity will play a big part in it.
When you drafted Blake, you and Dave both said that y'all would have been comfortable not playing him that rookie year, that you would have been okay with him being on the bench behind Chad that whole year. Circumstances changed, and he wound up playing early on in that season. Is he ahead of where you thought he would be after two seasons?
Well, I can say this. We know we have the right guy, you know, and that's the most pleasing thing. But you're right. It's always a challenge now. I'm sure you've heard coaches or GMs get up and talk at the podium about the transition from college to the NFL. And it takes some time. Just because he's a first-round pick, I think we assume this guy can step right in and he's going to have a breakout season. Well, that's very difficult. And, you know, so we made that, you know, decision to hold him a little bit. He did get a chance. Our intention was to have Chad play the whole year. It didn't work out that way. And I think now looking back at it, Blake benefited from it. There's always concern. What can take place in that year? Can a guy come out of that year being scarred? That was not the case with Blake. And, you know, so very pleased that it worked out that way and the accomplishments that he has. But he's out there for something greater. You know, it's the wins is that we're looking for.
Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley joining us here on Radio Row at the Scouting Combine. A lot of pressure put on Blake in the passing game this year because the running game just never really got going. Why didn't it work in 2015?
Well, I think that, you know, that's what we're looking at right now. We know it's such a big part of it, the ability to run the ball, to get explosives, and to take care of the ball. Three really big factors. And it comes back to, you know, if we can get the run game going, it'll just help in explosive plays. So, you know, that's going to be a big part of our emphasis this offseason, taking a look at guys. I think that you've heard Dave look at, you know, talk about different scenarios that we're looking at. You know, those are all things. We do that at every position. How can we best utilize the skill set, put guys in different positions? Some things you throw on the wall and they stick, and sometimes they don't. But you're always trying to evaluate our players. But that is one area offensively that we know we need to get better at.
I know the question is way too broad, but what's the plan to fix it? Do you feel like you have the pieces in-house to fix the offensive line this season to help that running game? Do you need to add another running back? What is the look this
season? Well, I think the competition at running back, you know, anytime in any of our positions, if you can bring in competition, it's always a good thing to see how players handle it. So I think I mentioned it earlier. We feel like we have some very good players on our team. And now through free agency, the draft, let's add more very good players. And our team understands that part of it. Look at the free agents that we signed last year. I think every one of them that came in started at one time or another. So, you know, hopefully we get down to where we don't have to do that. I think we're still in position that, you know, we can bring some guys that hopefully are difference makers for our team.
On the other side of the ball, defensively, you made the change to Todd Wash as defensive coordinator. It feels like there's a really high level of confidence in Wash from the organization. What about him makes you feel so confident about that hire?
Well, I just know Todd and what he brings to the table. The players really respond to him. I think they really have a lot of respect for him. I think they believe in him. Well, I know they believe in him. And what he did with the run game the last couple of years as the run game coordinator. And, you know, that ability to transfer that to the whole defense. He's, you know, we've had about, what, 3-4 weeks of intense meetings as a defense. And just the ownership he had. You know, the coaches have really bought into it, and I've seen some really cool things take place the last couple of weeks with him being in charge of that defense.
It was a bad year at times on that side of the ball, the defensive side of the ball. The question that we've been asking since we got into the offseason is how far away are they really
right.
on that side of the ball? So let's ask the head coach,
sure.
How far away are you on defense?
Well, I think sometimes you want to get cautious not to get too caught up in the stats. But we look at things. You know, first down, we did some really good things. Second down, we saw, you know, our stats compared to a lot of teams in the NFL. But third down was where we really, really struggled. I mean, it was bad. And we understand that. So there's a little bit of us saying, hey, you know what? If we can get third down taken care of, we're going to be playing pretty good football as a defense. But it comes back to the rush. And, you know, so I think we've got some guys that have showed they can rush, but we just need to add more to it. And it's not only just on the outside, it's on the inside, too. Guy like Sendarik Marks, get him back healthy and incorporate, you know, an inside and an outside rush can only help you on third down and the other downs. So I think on defense you can get better quickly by adding the right pieces.
Do you feel like the answers for you guys are out there? Like when you look at free agency and the opportunities you may have in the upcoming NFL draft, do you feel like the answers you're looking for that they're available to you this offseason?
Yeah, I think so. I think when you look at it, and some of it is just our team developing. You look like, you know, a guy like Aaron Colvin really developed and did some really good things. So we got to continue to develop our guys that are in-house and then look at some guys that are available. Obviously, a lot of things can take place in the next 2 weeks. So the people that you think are available now compared to 2 weeks from now may change.
Sure.
I think we got to be ready to adjust as that takes place. And then, again, with the mindset of continuing to build our team through the draft.
Just quickly want to touch on this. Don't want to dwell on it, but what was your reaction to the Dante Fowler Jr. video, and do you expect any league response?
Well, you know what? I think we made a statement, you know, as an organization we put out there, and I support our statement and stand by it. You know, I think the big thing is for us, we really want to be supportive of Dante and his family right now as they go through this. So I'll just leave it at that.
I kind of expected that would be the answer, Gus. As head coach Gus Bradley joins us here. Radio Row at the Scouting Combine. For you, is there a sense of urgency going into the 2016 season, going into year four for yourself to get that win number to a certain number? Is there a sense of urgency this year compared to others?
Right. I think, you know, that's probably a perception, but every year, you know, that's what we go into it as a coaching staff and as players saying, how can we improve rapidly? How can we get this to the point where we're consistently winning at a level that's acceptable as an organization? And that's the challenge. So whether we sign another year contract, there was no signing of another year contract, those things are all on the outside. It doesn't change how we approach this year. And I really like how our team is coming on. You see, guys, when you talk to a guy like Allen Robinson, and he's talking about, you know what, we really feel good about what we're doing offensively, and we need to take the next step. You hear more and more of those types of conversations throughout the team. And that's really, you know, our team. We have a standard that we expect. And, you know, I think our players understand that, and it's going to be exciting to go after it.
Is there any concern? Because there is, it feels like there's that pressure from outside. It's interesting to hear that you don't really feel like that's something from inside the building. I think the players, can they get caught up? Are you worried about them getting caught up in the expectations that may be getting heaped on them from outside the building with the pressure they may feel like could be on you?
Well, I think that's my job as a coach, you know, to try to help them stay focused. Whether that's, I mean, just the team is filled with distractions throughout the year. And it's not just pertaining to wins and losses or a coaching staff. There's multiple things that come up. And a team has got to be able to handle those things. And that's the job of a head coach, to help them handle that so their focus is on football and improving this team as fast as we can. So I really like the way the team has handled it. We've had some distractions. They've really handled it really the way that we had hoped. And I see nothing different this year.
Do you get a chance to relax, like, at all once the offseason gets started? Like, before the veteran mini camp, do you get a chance to just take a couple days to yourself? Or
well, you try to. I know. I think, you know, I probably do, but my wife probably says I don't. She said, you take a couple days off, but you were still thinking about football. But I think that's really what drives you. And, you know, it's so important to you. You know, I say that with being genuine. Our city, this franchise, our ownership, our organization, boy, they deserve the opportunity to experience success. There's not a doubt in my mind. So it's just a passion for us as coaches and players to give it to them. And so we really got to compete at free agency, the draft, our own team, how we go about this, and to give our fans what they so much deserve.
Jacksonville Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley, thanks for giving us a few minutes today.
Right,
and
anytime.
Enjoy the rest of the week.
All right, anytime. How about we'll do it again? I'll see you in 15 minutes, Gus. No, we'll have Fat Tony coming back in about 5 minutes on the other side. We'll wrap up a week's worth of live coverage from Indianapolis from the Scouting Combine. Hope you enjoyed hearing from your head coach, Gus Bradley, there. Again, not only Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell, many members of the national media sitting down with Frank and Rick over the last few days as well. It's all archived at 1010XL.com. Just scroll down on the main page to the on-demand section. You'll get it all right there. Friday's brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. We go back to Indianapolis to wrap up the week on Jaguars Today. Straight ahead here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This is Alan Hearns, and you are listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Alan Hearns taking in the River City Rumble last night. Well, those guys have an open rooting interest at the game, Tyler, or they just want to see some good hoops?
I'd like to think that they were on the JU Dolphins side.
You like the side of all that is good, you refer to it?
We did see a Alan Hearns tweet that said he would probably be going back to a JU Dolphins game. He was enjoying himself, so that was good.
All right, well, maybe you can check him out when they go to UNF for the A-Sun tournament. How about that?
JU could be playing at UNF in the semifinal game, I believe, so
yes.
It could be a rematch.
They're on the side of Lauren Brooks, I think, in that one. We'll see.
Always a good side to be on.
Not a bad side to be on. All right, let's head back to Indianapolis as we wrap up our week of coverage here on Jaguars Today with Fat Tony live at the Indianapolis Scouting Combine. Frank and Rick coming up later on this afternoon here on 1010XL. All right, Tony, final few minutes of the program and of the week, at least for Jaguars Today. What would you say is the most interesting thing, not necessarily one particular item you learned, but just maybe just something you experienced or didn't realize that you would feel coming out of your first week spent at the Indianapolis Combine?
I, honestly, Mike, I didn't realize it was this big. And what you see on TV with the coverage that you get from inside that arena, you know, it started today on NFL Network with them showing, you know, the players working out, and they don't allow any of the media in there, really. So it's just the coaches and teams that are in there watching these guys, and you don't realize how big an event this really is and how much of an NFL convention it is. There are 1,300 media members that are here covering the NFL Combine. You talk to some of the guys that have been covering it for 20, 25 years, and they can remember when it was 8 to 10 people, writers in the room, waiting on players to come through. Now you're talking about 1,300 credentialed media. It is a big, big deal. I've had such a good time this week. I can't believe it's the first time that I've had the opportunity to come and do this, given how just being up here for this thing this week.
Is there a player or players, Tony, that the NFL people that you're talking to are most skeptical about as they head into the or they feel as which guys have the most to prove, at least that are being talked about, regardless of position, whether they just want to see if that athleticism shows up in Indianapolis like it does on film, or whether it's character concerns, which guys are under the biggest microscope this week?
Well, I think it's easy to say Noah Spence because of all the questions that a lot of these teams have, and, you know, it's the first opportunity for them to really get to know him. The Jags had the advantage of coaching him at the Senior Bowl and trying to spend some time with him there to try to vet him out a little bit about whether or not they would think he's worth that number five pick, or if they had the opportunity to move down, how far do they think they needed to move down if they were going to spend that draft pick on Noah Spence. So I think certainly he's one of those guys. I know for me, and I haven't heard this from any of the scouts or anybody in the building, the guy for me is Stanley, the offensive tackle. I don't see it. I don't get it with that guy. I know he's being considered by some a top 10 draft prospect. I haven't heard anyone speaking that highly of him, at least that I've talked to this week. I don't see what everyone else seems to see as far as the draft nicks with him on tape, but we'll see. We're just about 6 weeks away from the NFL draft actually getting underway.
Yeah, and fortunately for Jacksonville, would they consider Laramie Tunsil maybe at five? It doesn't seem like, he would be there, and I don't think there's much speculation that if he's not there that they wouldn't go for the highest-rated defensive player on the board. They may anyway, even if Tunsil were available to them, which doesn't look likely at this point in time. Did you agree with Ron O'Halloran earlier saying, you know, he thinks Tunsil's missing an opportunity? To me, if you're in the number one spot right now, which he seems to be, as long as he does well at his pro day, and maybe that puts a little bit more pressure on there, I don't think it's going to matter that he didn't do certain things here at the Combine.
Well, I think you're seeing fewer and fewer players take that route, and maybe that's why it's a little bit surprising that a guy who is potentially the number one overall draft pick, we've talked about it a lot with it felt like the quarterbacks were not going to throw anymore at the Combine, and then a couple years ago Blake Bortles threw, and Bortles was a bit of an unknown commodity at the time, and the Jaguars were impressed by what they saw from him on the field, by his willingness to go out there and do something like that, and rewarded him by taking him with the number three draft pick. And I think it's a bit surprising to hear those kinds of stories now that he's really not going to participate in anything. I don't have an issue with it. I think if you are confident in your abilities and you think that you're going to do what you would do at your pro day anyway, that's all you need if you're being considered that high of a prospect. But I think it's a bit surprising that with the culture around the Combine here in just the last couple of years that the potential number one overall draft pick would say, no, I'm not going to work out here. He just went through all the medical eval.
And I don't have a problem. Look, I don't have a problem with it. And ultimately, I don't think it'll come back to hurt Laramie Tunsil. I think there's there's a culture of coercion that goes on at this thing where your manhood is being questioned if you're not willing to run a 40. It's a business decision. And if you think, you know, look, if I'm a guy trying to prove myself and try to leapfrog some of the guys that are ranked ahead of me, absolutely I'm trying to do that. If I'm in the catbird seat, I'm going to do what I think is best, what my representatives think is best, put me in position to maintain my status. You can't go up if you're Laramie Tunsil right now, at least. Tony, today, I guess, running backs along with these offensive linemen that are running the 40-yard dash right now, what are you looking forward to? What can we expect coming up later on today in Indianapolis?
Well, obviously, we'll have a close eye on Derrick Henry and what he's going to do with his workout on field today. Keith Marshall is a name I think some fans may want to keep an eye on as he goes through his workout today. Already put up 25 bench press reps. He, of course, tore his knee up while he was at the University of Georgia. He was a speedster during his freshman season and apparently is good enough now to be out here working out. Was a very, very talented, very, very highly recruited player going to the University of Georgia, but a name you haven't heard much from in the last couple of years. He's expected to potentially run something down in the 4.3s, which if you top that on top of the fact that he is a guy who can bench press 25 reps, that's a name that certainly could build some steam here over the course of the next couple of weeks with that kind of workout. Joey Bosa is just behind me in the interview room, and you talk about a guy that's really comfortable in front of the camera. My goodness, Joey was, he was funny. It was fun to listen to him talk for the 10, 12 minutes that they had him up there on the podium, and he's a really confident guy in what he thinks he can bring to whatever team may select him. He said he's been working on his dropbacks for, in case a 3-4 team is really interested in him, so he's trying to get that versatility down as well. DeForest Buckner should be in the room a little bit later on today as well, so we'll let you hear from both of those guys. Miles Jack should be making his way through. Again, the guys that the Jags had would be seriously considering with that number 5 pick should be making their way through the interview room today, so we'll try to get you the latest from whatever they have to say throughout the afternoon here on 1010XL.
Can we now then condense the time? Can we get to free agency like next Tuesday? Would that be possible? Can you get that done? You've got all the NFL decision makers
right
in one place. So,
well, that's how it used to work with the Combine. They used to show up here at the Combine, and it was basically during the tampering, quote-unquote, window for free agency. So you'd show up for the Combine, and by the time you got to the end of the week, like, free agency would open on the Friday of Combine week. So today you'd have contracts starting to be announced right here at the NFL Combine. Instead, the NFL being the NFL wants to spread it out a little bit, and this is the end of February event. And March is the free agency. That's the event in March, and then you got the draft in April. They want it 12 months out of the year for us to be able to talk about nothing but the NFL, and honestly, it doesn't bother me much to have to talk about the NFL year-round.
Well, it's a good thing, because we do a show, Tony, you may have noticed, that strictly talks about the NFL, and
yeah,
particularly
spread it out, boys,
the Jacksonville Jaguars. Yeah, here's Ronnie Stanley up in front of my eyes right now, running his second 40-yard dash. I mean, this is going to be critical. Oh, he improved. 5.18 seems like a pretty good time for a top tackle prospect, right? I mean, he seems like he looks like he's a pretty trim, athletic-type tackle, one of the guys we were just talking about a minute ago. So I'm sure all these times will be dissected over the course of the next several weeks until the draft finally is upon us. Tony, great work, not only with Gus Bradley, but just in general. Your updates have been outstanding, and bringing in some of the great guests that you guys have on the afternoons with Frank and Rick. Continued having a good day out there. We'll be listening, and have fun and safe travels back to Jacksonville, and I'll see you at our newly remodeled studios at Everbank Field on Monday. How about that?
I'm looking forward to it. Are we both getting the Lazy Boy chairs, or is it just you?
It's just me. It's just me. But you've got an ottoman. You're going to have an ottoman that you can sit on, which will be nice for you. You know, we got a pool and a pond. A pond would be good for you, so that'd be good.
Yes.
All right.
I can live with it.
I have a feeling neither one of us is getting a Lazy Boy, and we'll be right back where we've always been. But we'll pretend that it's something different. All right. There you go, Tony. Have a great weekend, man. I'll see you Monday.
All right, see you next week.
All right, there he goes, Fat Tony, live in Indianapolis with Frank Frangie and Rick Ballew. Those guys coming up later on this afternoon at 3 o'clock. Jaguars.com live, as a matter of fact, we'll have the head coach coming up at the top of the hour. If you want to check out Gus Bradley a little bit more, or if you want to hear Tony's interview with Gus Bradley, you want to hear Frank and Rick with Dave Caldwell, or any of the other interviews that they've done with some of the national media members in Indianapolis, you can check it all out at 1010XL.com in the on-demand section. Just scroll down to the bottom of the main page and you'll find it all right there. That does it for us for this Friday. Thanks to Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, our Friday sponsor. Don't forget the Jacksonville Greek Festival this weekend at the Morocco Shrine Auditorium. $3 for adults, kids 12 and under get in for free. Just show up, get a ticket right there. Or if you want to check out JacksGreekFest.com to get more information, you can do that as well. Thanks to Father Nicholas Lowe from St. John of the Divine for stopping by earlier and give us a little bit more of the 411 on that. For Ryan O'Halloran, who joined us today from the Florida Times Union, for Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey. That wraps up the week here on Jaguars Today. We'll say hello to the boys of XL Primetime next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, Duval, give me two claps and a Rick Flip.
Woo! That's great job.